from KTOO in Juneau. I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A Juneau woman was found dead Wednesday on a popular Mendenhall Valley trail. Police are investigating the death as a homicide, but have released a little other information to the public so far. Claire Strempel reports for KTOO.
Friends remember Faith Rogers for her commitment to family and work. Mary Neary knew her for more than 20 years.
She's a very gentle, kind person.
Neary remembers vacationing together in Hawaii and spending holidays with Rogers' family. Neary says Rogers worked in childcare while she worked towards her master's degree in social work, all while raising her three children as a single mom. Rogers, who was 55 years old, worked with Neary at Bartlett Regional Hospital for many years. Rogers was a substance abuse counselor. Neary says that work speaks to the kind of woman she was.
Yeah, but she was a very caring person, really cared about her clients, and always gave everything to her work.
Police have shared little information with the public. Public Safety Manager Aaron Kalwara is the department's spokesperson for the case. Kalwara wouldn't say if there's a current public safety risk.
I think people are going to have to care for that themselves based on their personal. I think that's just really a personal choice for people.
But she said there is a reason police asked people to stay away from the trail.
We also asked people to stay away from the area because we are investigating the murder of a woman. It only occurred 2 days ago, and we don't have the suspect in custody.
Kalwara would not say if the department has any leads, how Rogers died, or if there was evidence of other crimes. Rogers' body was sent to Anchorage for an autopsy. What little information is public came in a pair of news releases earlier this week. On Wednesday, Juneau police said Rogers was found about 200 yards from the Glacier Highway trailhead for the Brotherhood Bridge Trail. And in a Thursday update, police identified Rogers and said they'd questioned and released what they called a person of interest. Anyone with information can make an anonymous tip at JunoCrimeLine.com. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
Voting is underway in Juneau's local election. The ballot has four questions on it that will affect the future of the capital city. Today, we'll take a look at Proposition 4. This question asks voters to repeal measures the Juneau Assembly adopted in 2020 and this past February that mandates sharing real estate sales prices with the city assessor's office. Supporters of the repeal say the mandate is an invasion of privacy and expect it to lead to higher property taxes. Most assembly members oppose the repeal. They say disclosing sales prices will lead to more fair and accurate assessments, particularly for higher-end properties, which tend to get undervalued when assessed. The assessor's job is to determine the fair market value of every parcel of property in Juneau every year. These values directly affect property tax bills and the balance of who pays for city services. Real estate professionals and developers are leading the repeal effort, which began with the citizen petition process. They often point out how common it is for jurisdictions with mandatory disclosure laws to enact real estate transfer taxes that they say add to the cost of housing. Here's how the group leading the repeal effort, Protect Juneau Homeowners Privacy, boiled it down into a Facebook video.
I'm a small business owner and a homeowner. I don't pay attention to Juneau's politics very closely, but this issue caught my attention. Mandatory disclosure without a vote of the people sounds like a tax grab to me. That's why I'm voting yes on Prop 4 to repeal this ordinance.
That's Gary Stevens. He runs a car repair shop in Juneau. Assembly members say the mandate is not about boosting tax revenue. Mayor Beth Weldon voted against the original mandate and didn't want to share how she'll vote on the repeal question, but she said she was disappointed with some of the messaging from repeal supporters.
We have never said that we were going to do a transfer tax. Quite frankly, we're spending millions, and I mean millions, on dollars on trying to make housing affordable in Juneau. And why would we make housing more expensive in one hand and then spend millions on the other hand to make it cheaper? It just does not make any sense.
No assembly members have taken any steps or indicated that they want to create a real estate transfer tax. Realtor Kimmy Ott hosts a podcast called What Juneau About Real Estate. In a May episode, she said she just doesn't buy that.
The city has been saying too, oh, no, we're never going to implement a transfer tax. I am calling bullshit because you guys have not kept your word. You changed the game on everyone.
She was referring to an update the assembly made in February to the disclosure mandate. At first, the information had to be kept confidential. But after property owners fighting their assessments demanded more transparency, the assembly ditched confidentiality The main argument from supporters of real estate disclosure is more nuanced. During a forum last week, Assemblymember and unopposed candidate Carol Treem said she's voting against the repeal. She wants to keep the mandate in place.
I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. Mandatory disclosure will help lower the property taxes of middle and low income homeowners because it will even that out with the higher income properties that don't come on the market quite as frequently.
Let's unpack that. Why would mandatory disclosures lead to lower property tax bills for lower income property owners? And why aren't higher income property owners already evened out? Without the mandate, the assessor's office already had a lot of publicly available market information for common types of real estate sales, like for tract homes. The more market data it has, the more confident it is about its assessments being accurate and fair. But for extraordinary properties, say for custom homes or commercial buildings, the market is much smaller. Sales are less frequent, and they tend to be more private. So the assessor's office has to make more guesses about Juneau's most valuable properties. The city finance director has said in a memo that the assessor's office tends to undervalue properties it has limited information about. The Alaska Legislature's Nonpartisan Research Service examined the issue in 2014, and its researcher came to the same conclusion on a statewide level. Basically, Treem thinks the mandate will raise assessments of Juneau's most expensive but generally underassessed properties and have little effect on the assessments of more common properties.
Having that information out there in the housing market, this crazy housing market that we've seen, will only help buyers and sellers when they have a full, transparent, view of the housing market. I would urge people to vote against that, to vote no on the mandatory disclosure.
We asked several assembly members what they would do if there was an abrupt increase in overall property assessments. Answers varied, but lowering the property tax rate was on the table. We'll have stories on the other three local ballot questions in the coming days. You can find these stories and other resources on our local elections page at ktoo.org. The Bureau of Land Management has begun a 45-day scoping period for a supplemental environmental review of the proposed Ambler Road. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
The additional Ambler Road analysis was ordered by a U.S. District Court judge in May following lawsuits filed by environmental and Alaska Native groups to stop the road and a request by the Biden administration to address deficiencies identified in the original EIS conducted during the Trump administration. BLM Alaska Acting Communications Director Jason Barangin says the supplemental review will focus on two primary issues.
Related to Alaska Native Tribal consultation for assessing, potential impacts to traditional properties, as well as, deficiencies in terms of impacts related to subsistence resources.
Barangin says additional topics may also be considered based on input received during the scoping period.
From the public, from the Alaska Native tribes, from the Native corporations, as well as other folks that are interested in the project will help inform what resources, what topics, what concerns should be looked at in the analysis.
In July 2020, the Trump administration issued federal right-of-way permits to the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority for the 211-mile road from the Dalton Highway west along the southern foothills of the Brooks Range to the Ambler Mining District. The federal government suspended those permits this past February in light of the EIS deficiencies. Barangin says the supplemental review will be the basis for another decision on the road.
We want to be inclusive. We want to hear what folks have to say, and we want to come to a durable decision that will help ensure resilient landscapes in that part of the state.
Barangin says the National Environmental Policy Act allows up to 2 years to complete the supplemental EIS process. The scoping period is the first step and closes November 4th. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
An Alaska judge has ruled that a lawmaker affiliated with the Oath Keepers may stay on the general election ballot in November, even though he's likely ineligible to hold public office. But the Anchorage Daily News reported that Judge Jack McKenna on Thursday ordered elections officials to delay certifying the result of that particular race until a trial scheduled for December can be held. This would allow elections officials to exclude Republican State Representative David Eastman from the ranked choice voting tabulation process if the trial finds him ineligible. If that happens, Votes cast for him would go to the voters' next highest choices. And finally, weather. Southeast Alaska is in for another drenching from an atmospheric river starting Sunday and continuing into next week. A warm, wet weather front is headed northeast from Hawaii, bringing heavy rain to the southern panhandle first.
And then that's going to kind of lift north a little bit, but then we get another wave along this front that's going to impact the area continuing into Monday and Tuesday.
Aaron Jacobs is the senior service hydrologist for the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says the biggest flooding concerns will be Monday night into Tuesday as rain continues.
Things will change between now and Tuesday, but just stay tuned to the National Weather Service for any updates on the system.
Jacobs says the heaviest and most consistent precipitation is expected to occur in the northern panhandle, with Juneau seeing anywhere from 6 to 8 inches of rain. Depending on how things develop, the Weather Service may issue a flood watch as early as Saturday. National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau area tonight calls for showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 1 a.m., then showers likely, low around 47. Saturday, scattered showers, cloudy, high near 52. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, September 23rd, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.